Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 27th of April of 2022, and I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I am honestly glad to be with you. It always is a blessing every time I get to be with you like this, wherever it is that you may be wherever you might be tuning in from. But speaking of it being the 27th of April, I don't know if you know this, but when we do this show, on Monday, when we come back, it's hard to believe it up here in Michigan, but it will be May. The bad news for us weather-wise is that the flip over to May does not automatically this year come with a flip in temperatures to suddenly 70s, 80s, and the like. Unfortunately, it does not come with that. Excuse me. Now, there was about 4 years ago, Shannon, you might or might not remember this, about 4 years ago, we had came through in April that was chillier than normal. In fact, we had even had a major ice storm on like the 14th, 15th of the month.
That was in April?
Yes, April of 2018.
Remember that.
April 14th to 15th. But then it had been one of the coldest Aprils ever in much of Michigan. When May hit, it basically flipped course and ended up being just about one of the warmest ever. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like we went from one extreme basically to the other real quick.
Really did.
But then June was kind of average, kind of up, kind of down. So who knows what it's going to do, because, you know, when I look at the 10-day, that gets us to the 6th at this point. There are no 70s in it anywhere, unlike what I wish for. Because after all, folks, in my city, the public pool opens on the 28th of May. Yes, I said that, the 28th of May. That would be more common in a place like Georgia or much of that state to the south, Indiana, you know, Kentucky, but usually not in Michigan normally. But the superintendent this year, last year actually, had voted on the calendar. They had voted on the calendar for this year, and it resulted in a very early start to the school year, much earlier than it had been, like 2 weeks earlier. The good thing about that was is they got done by Memorial Day. But this next year, for whatever reason, they won't get to because they added some PD days. You know, a couple of those in there. If part of the goal was to what was to be done by Memorial Day, and then this next year they won't be. I don't think they should have even touched that calendar. Do you?
Probably not.
I think they should have just left that calendar alone and done the post Labor Day start.
Right.
And if you go to June 10th or June 12th, so what?
Right.
Because we've had Junes in Michigan where it didn't really get warm until the 12th. So that's why it's kind of a, who knows, but on those days, a lot of those certain times on those days where June is not really warm until the 12th, down the south they're just, I don't know, certain times, sometimes it's just, you know, nice, not too hot, not too cold. You know, a lot of 80s, some 90s, but then the 90s come shortly thereafter down there. But
right.
But as they say, every year is different. Every year is different. No two are the same unless you're in, like, Florida or Texas. Because the thing is, they say in Florida, for example, they say in Florida during the summer, for the most part, it'll rain every day, but it won't be cloudy all day long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the saying is for Texas, usually in the summer, unless it rains, which in July down there, for whatever reason, is a bit less than most of the other months. But they'll say in like late June, July, and August, they'll say as long as it's sunny, it'll be mid 90s, high 90s, or about 100. Like it's just a given. Like it doesn't fluctuate as much as up here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you get more south, is it just me or have you heard this too, that it becomes just more of a given, like what it's going to be?
I feel like it's more of a...
It's more of a given in some of those places like Texas, Florida.
Right.
Like this is how it's going to be. More often than not, it's not going to deviate too much. You have some days that are crazy records, like 107 when it should be 96. But then you'll have others where the record might only be like 104.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it won't deviate much at all from those records. And sometimes you'll have like 2 weeks barely it barely rains, but the temperature never barely changes either.
Right.
Like it'll just. Well, up here, if it goes a couple weeks without rain, the temperature will be all over the place in the summer. You know?
Yeah.
We really have these weeks like where it's just really steady all week. But who knows what it's going to be. I saw this thing that they're predicting a warmer summer. I hope that's true because I do wish for the generally warmer summers to continue because I have experienced some cooler summers before, and I've also had the warmer. Nowadays, I have to tell you, I prefer the warmer ones. I really do.
Me too.
Because although in Nashville, I didn't say Chattanooga, but I did say Nashville. In Nashville specifically, I would say I wish you could have the hotter summers, but have it be less humid.
Right.
By hotter, I mean more low 90s, but more low 90s than that, but with less of the humidity.
Yeah.
Because I've actually been down there when it was like that, but I feel like the farmers don't like it as much, like when it's hot like that and extra dry, no, next to no humidity.
I wouldn't imagine
Because yeah, even though sometimes I wish that would happen more often here and, of course, at the southern U.S. at the same time, of course, because I wouldn't want it to be like sunny here and in the 90s, but down there they keep getting rain and rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. Because there's been times down there, you might have heard of this, where there'll be these times where, like, for the whole week it keeps saying showers and thunderstorms likely, showers and thunderstorms likely, like in the summer. But the truth is it won't do nearly what they're calling for. What was it doing that summer that you were there? It did that a couple times?
Oh, no. The summer that I lived there, it stormed a lot. And some of those storms were pretty intense, nonetheless.
Some of them were not on the days that it really predicted that it said it would rain all day, though, huh? Some of them were just like these 50%ers days.
Right. Yeah.
But is it true, though, that there were some of those days where it said, like, 80% chance, but it didn't rain at all?
Yeah.
And on a couple of them, instead of being 80% chance of rain, instead it was actually clear.
Right.
And then when it did, it shot up to the 90s.
Yeah.
So it was 15 that you were there all summer? It was 15?
So
what was the next summer that they had the big drought?
Yeah. The summer that I was there, like I said, it stormed so much throughout that entire summer.
But, Phil, it seemed like a lot of it was more so in August, though, right? That it was storming more so August?
I'd say more in July than anything.
Because what happened in August, especially later on, the heat floodgate opened and it got real hot.
Yeah.
And then it did that thing of no rain for 2 weeks, mid-90s every day.
I think so. That sounds about right.
Where that next summer, though, that's basically how it was all summer. That summer, from what you understand, there were a lot of times that they would call for rain and they wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
They just kept not getting it, not getting it. Instead, mid-90s, which for me, though, I like the warmer weather for the, you know, the outside pool, because if we don't get warmer weather up here, who knows, it'll take longer. They'll have to turn that heater up on the pool even more. And so, but anyhow, enough on that. Anyhow, listeners, I do want to, and Honduras, if you're listening to the program, thank you so much for tuning in, and so glad that you're tuned in. I know my mom is over there, and she'll be coming back to the States tomorrow night. She'll be flying back into Michigan to the cold. And by the way, Mom, if you're listening, no, I did not cause the cold to come back here. I did not do that. I tried to get the warmth to stay here, but it wouldn't. Instead, it went back south.
Ask her to please bring back some warmth with her.
Bring it back with you, Mom, if you can help it. Because what had happened was, like, down there it had built, but it was there like one day, earlier. But now that warmth has just stayed down there. It stayed. But part of that has to do with the seasonal shift, I'm sure. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You're thinking that's probably why that happened and why it's just staying now. Whereas up here, we can't get it to stay to save our lives, even though I wish.
Me too.
Because I'm over this. And well, I'd be at that pool on opening day. Will that opening day be on that day that it's supposed to be? Well, it depends on what Mother Nature says. hopefully, because I feel like once we get past the 6th, I think it's time for makeup time, because the temps need to go up. Nonetheless, I thought of something, listeners. I had seen something today when I was going through Facebook. One of the ministers at my church had posted something along the lines of how Dr. Barclay teaches, you know, a lot about, you know, like how you have, we have victories. And one of the great things you could do is count your victories. Why not think of the victories you've had? Because it can be so easy as we go through life. This happens, that happens. This happens, that happens. My kids, my cat, my dog, my car. And all that kind of stuff. And things happen. But David thought a lot. And he was so grateful for the victories that he had. Like example, when he won over the lion, when he won over the bear. God helped him in that. God helped him. And I'm sure many of us could use more victory. And me, so that was just something that was kind of on my mind, and I had seen that this morning, and I was like, you know, that's one of these nuggets that I could, or that I really think I should tell my listeners. And so in my mind, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna, because I just felt it in my spirit. But I felt like I was supposed to tell you. And so there's that. I do want to mention to you real quick that this episode has been brought to you by your local Dairy Queen, where you can go to your local Dairy Queen and pick up one of the flavors of the season. One of the blizzards of the season, as their summer blizzards have been released. I tried one of the new ones, and it was pretty good. But I will say, great plate, simple joy of a summer day. You know, you can go to your spring or summer day, you can go to your local Dairy Queen. Download the Burger King app, the Dairy Queen app for rewards, DQ, not BK, DQ. Download the Dairy Queen app for deals and rewards. Price and participation may vary, tax extra. And as they say, see store for details. And so, a couple things real quick. Number one, before we get into a couple songs, and then we get into the word of the Lord. First of all, I want to let you know that on the May 11th, so 2 weeks from tonight, I will quite possibly be en route to Chicago. If that's the case, we might not have a show. So I'll try to let you know within the next week and a half. as to whether I will or won't be having a show on that night of the 11th of May. I don't know. Maybe it should actually just be April part two. I don't know. At this rate, we have to wait and see. Because usually I just look at it once a day. Now I'm looking at it twice a day, trying to find some kind of hope. You would be doing the same thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and you know what I'm going to do after this episode is over? Something I haven't done in a while, but I usually do some on the 7th. I'm opening up that AccuWeather to see what the 15-day says.
Oh, touche.
There better be some better stuff than that. Otherwise, in my mind, it probably will be April Part 2.
Oh, my goodness. I hope not.
There better be some better stuff in there. On the back 5 days of it. But, all right. I do want to remind you of the other two things real quick. First of all, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how gracious God has been. And he really has been gracious to me, and he has just been so great. And just the miracles that he's done in my life. And I thank God for my life all the time. I think we all should thank God that we're alive, because you might have not been through the things that I've went through. The truth of the matter is we should truly be thankful to God that we're alive. You know, that you made it another year. You made it enough. Yes. Go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. Again, that is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. R-I, not R-Y. Just wanted to make sure that you were clear on that. Capiche? Yes, capiche. Good. By the way, folks, for those of you from other nations who don't know what capiche means understand me. Is that language, is that Spanish or is that a different language, capiche?
I'm not even sure, to be honest on that one.
You've heard of it. You've heard that though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing real quick, like, I do want to remind you also of the seed. If the show has been a blessing unto your life, you can consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. And I don't tell you what to give. That's between you and God. It is. It's between you and God. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you what to give. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, you give $3,000 or $300 or $30, you'll get this certain prize. No. That's gonna be between you and God, what you give. And so God wants to multiply your seed sown. Like this. If you go 10 plus 10, you get 20. 10 times 10, 100. There's a difference. Now, if you look at it, 100 plus 100, 200. 100 times 100, 10,000. Oh, see? There's a difference there. I was doing that thing that my pastor does to kind of illustrate. So God wants to multiply your seed sown. And so the verse that I want to sow tonight is where it talks about how that lady in Luke, how all these people were giving their offerings into the temple. So an offering was being taken. And people were coming up there giving huge amounts of money. They were like, well, look who's in the house. Jesus is in the house. And they're thinking, yeah, I'm going to give really big. Well, they gave a lot. But this lady was a widow, and she didn't have very much. She put in everything. And she looked higher on the one who gave based on the percentage, the higher percentage, as opposed to the one who gave more dollars. But don't sit here and think God loves you more if you're poor and less if you're rich, or vice versa. It's God loves us all equally. It's equal. It's not, oh, I'm rich. Oh, and like, here's how much he loves me based on, you know, what have you. No. He loves us all. Equally. So the verse, the principle I want you to sow on is God looks on the heart. The heart. So what's your heart like as you sow? You know? So that's something that you can think about. And so now I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for tonight, for what the Lord has for us. And say you. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my brow. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Trouble surrounds me. chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. Oh, I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always. Always. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Oh, I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always. Always. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still must make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. Oh, you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fades. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not all alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. Never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. Oh, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over all fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every enemy. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Break through their shadow. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear and anxiety. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every. Your name is higher. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break through the stronghold. Break through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Your name is stronger. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Your name is strong. Break through the stronghold. Break through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus on the over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus everywhere, over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus in the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the middle, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is stronger. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break through the stronghold. Break through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Your name is stronger. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break through the stronghold. Break through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is greater. Your name is stronger. You are higher. Thank you, Master, for that you are with us. Wherever we go, you're with us. We don't have to wonder where you are because you are God with us. And I thank you, Master, for what you're doing in us, through us, what you're doing for us. Thank you, Master, for just you moving on our behalf and for what you have already done, for what you're going to do, for just you moving through us, in us, for us. Thank you for this time we have tonight to study your word, that these listeners, that these listeners have ears to hear, minds that are receptive, that they would just let go of the distractions and that they would just be ready to focus on you and on your word for the next little bit. And I thank you for every need represented on this program tonight. Every need is met regardless of what the need is, whether it's something physical, something financial, whatever it is, Jesus, you know what it is. You know what is needed. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are meeting that need right now. Whatever it is that we're believing for, you're meeting that need. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that in your matchless name. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I pray that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Let's lift our Bible up and make our confession. The Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips, so let's do it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God for that. Now, before we turn to where I want to turn, I want to remind you that whatever I do for the next little bit, you follow along. So if I sing again, somehow you sing, if you know the lyrics. If I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you study with me. Pay attention. And Be a participator. Don't just be a spectator. So, that being said, let's go to Romans 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 3. We're going to be talking a bit about faith tonight. Amen. We're just giving you a minute to find it. It's just after the book of Acts, listeners, in case you're new to the Bible. If you get to, like, the Corinthians, you know, past all the Galatians and Ephesians and all that, you went too far. So, back it up again. It's the one right after Acts. It's chapter 3. So, Romans 3. I'm going to begin with verse 1. What advantage, then, is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? What in every way? First of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true, and every man a liar. This is, hey, listeners, this isn't saying that we should just all go around being liars. That's not what it's referring to. As it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, then what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were such, then how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, then why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Spirit condemnation is deserved. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Throats are open, graves. They practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to show, to shed blood, ruin, and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace, they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, by which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed before and unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is, which then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law. No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles as well? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law of his faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Let's look at 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trust God, who justifies the wicked. His faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man by whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace that you may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only by those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom who believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said by him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words by it was credited to him, written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. for us to believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So, you see, Abraham, as we found out, as we read, Abraham, he lived by faith. And it was credited to his account as righteousness. Now we have to put works to our faith and do what, So Abraham had been almost 100. He was like 99 years old. And in the natural, Sarah's womb was basically dead. She had no children. But you know what? They believed in God. They believed in God. They could have said, well, I'm 100. I'm 100. She's 90. In her 90s. There's no way we can bear children. She might have thought it, but Abraham and Sarah both might have thought it, but they chose to go by faith. Put up going by faith means you're not going by what you're seeing. You're not going by what you're feeling. And you might feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make, I don't know if I'm going to get, I just don't know if I'll be able to, have this thing. I don't know if it's the will of God to heal me or not. Then you see, that's doubt and unbelief. And we're not supposed to be doubting. And it's a sin. That's a sin to be a Christian but have no trust in Jesus. You have to be able to put your trust in him. Because faith is trust in him. It's believing that he will do what he said in his word. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things we have not seen yet. So in the natural, you go, yeah, we haven't seen it yet. But it's coming. Because we'll go through life and we'll see, things happen. But then it's an awesome thing. We just believe in him and trust him and just believe that he's going to do what he says in his word. After all, he is just. And if we're going to ask God for things, the Bible says you ask, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Part of that could mean, though we might be asking, that you have no belief. That would be like if you have kids and your son or odd daughter asks you, you know, can I have this certain bike? Are there certain, yeah, we'll say like a certain kind of bike. And if the kid just thinks, you know, mom and dad will both say no, guaranteed, then why would they ask? Maybe because they think they're going to get it anyway. But and even if you're the parent and you say yes, but then they go, oh, they were just kidding. I don't trust them. I'm not getting that bike. I'm not getting any bike. But that's what people do with God. There'll be people that'll say, well, I ask you to heal my body in the name of Jesus. For example, I'm believing for a financial breakthrough in your name, Jesus. But then they'll talk down and be like, I'm poor. I've always been poor. I'm blind. I've always been blind. I have arthritis. I guess it's a part of being old. And then they'll be like, I don't know if he'll heal me or not. I've been asking him for a while. But when you start doing that, you're getting into doubt and unbelief. You got to keep that faith up and not let the doubt and unbelief seep in. Folks, this is why we have to wash our minds with the water of the Word of God. We have to keep that doubt and unbelief at bay. And not let it just seep in there. And keep that fear up. And what have I told you, listeners? What have I told you? Multiple times. Especially in the last 2 years, 3 years. I told you that faith and fear cannot live together. If you are faithful, you are fearless. If you are fearful, you are faithless. They don't mix. Not well. They don't mix well. And you say, and I just loved the way that Dr. Parsley had explained that after a certain event had happened in Ohio 2.5 years ago, and another one in Texas the same day. And he was like, you know, we shouldn't be all like, you know, living in fear. And that was when he told his congregation, you know, faith and fear don't mix. That was the first time that I had heard him say it exactly like that, about you're faithful, you're fearless. If you're fearful, you're faithless. And that's just something that I've used, because the two don't go together. I have to think in our mind all the time. God has not given us me a spirit of fear. He's given me instead a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind, not a wishy-washy mind that goes all over the place and just... a sound mind. That's what he's given us. So, pray I helped you tonight. I do. Honestly, pray I helped you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight. Thank you, Master, that we will live by faith, as your word says to, when not in doubt and unbelief and fear and just not knowing, that instead we'll live in faith and that we'll trust you, knowing that you are the source. You are the deliverer. You are. And I thank you. Lord God, I curse the spirit of fear that's trying to get into any of these listeners right now. Curse the spirit of fear. Whatever it is that they may be afraid of, I curse that spirit of fear right now. I curse that spirit of anxiety spoken right now in the name of Jesus. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because you, Lord, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood or crash, none of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones, because we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.